That was a beautiful, beautiful hymn this morning. One other person that sung it, I have great regards for. He's passed on now. It was Bob Oldham's brother, Jim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's every time I hear that song, that's who I remember, is Jim Oldham. And it's very fitting this morning. You know, with what we've been facing the last few days, we see in the news that there are those that have dealt very unjustly with people, including taking their lives, and certainly that's not what God wants us to do. But we have an obligation to follow the Word of God. And the Word of God instructs me that I should pay attention to what His Word says. I'm going to skip this part of it. I don't want to bring negatives in this morning. I want us to center our attention on the love of God. How He loved us long before we loved Him. And God gives us people that we need in our lives. He gave me my wife some 53 years ago. And He's given me my kids and my grandkids. Last night, as we were sitting, watching a little bit of television, my grandson crawled upon my lap. And I want to tell you, this is something that I missed. I have missed years of being around my grandkids. We might see them maybe at the most four times a year. They'll come up for Bible school, and I had the obligation of being the pastor down at Oklahoma City. And we'd see them when we go down there. I recall one time my oldest grandson, Mason. We were going to church, and Jewel said, "Now you've got to be quiet because this is God's house." And then I got up to speak, and Mason turned to his grandmother and he says, "Is that God?" "No, I'm not God. I don't think I could run this world." But you know, we're to teach our grandkids and our children. I want to turn in the Book of Mormon to the second chapter of Mosiah. And you all have heard me read this so many times. I hate to really start out with it because it's not the same sermon as it was before. Starting with the 13th verse. Believe in God. I know that says believe in God, but I think there's another meaning there too. It's believe God. This is something that we must do. We must believe God and we must believe in God. Believe that He is, that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He is all wisdom and power and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things that the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. I was told a while back that some of the people of the church do not trust the ministry. And I asked, why don't you trust the ministry? Well, you preach repentance and you preach love and forgiveness. And we believe that you should preach other things. Well, you know, we're told in the scriptures that we're to preach nothing but repentance in this day. And certainly love and forgiveness is something that we all must do. If we can't forgive another, we can't be forgiven ourselves. If we can't love one another, He tells us that we're not His. And certainly, we must follow His commandments. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge and the glory of God, if ye have known of His goodness and have tasted of His love, and have received a remission of your sins, which cometh with such exceeding great joy in your souls. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. We heard Zerna this morning say that calling on the name of the Lord daily, or such a thing as that in prayer, that we pray in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening. But it says, let your heart be drawn out in prayer always. So we should always retain in our heart a prayer. Sometimes we don't know how that prayer is going to be answered. When I worked for the college, I would pray every morning that on my way to the college that God would give me someone to witness to that day. And one day I went in there and there was I had a diagnosis of breast cancer. And when I approached this one guard, he says, how did you hold out having breast cancer? I said, well, I know that there was a lot of prayers said for me. And I could hear the prayers offered in my behalf. And I said, in fact, this young man sitting next to me, I said, I know he prayed for me. He's not a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of a church to pray for somebody. But this young man did. And he said, well, how can you pray to God? How do you know he's there? I said, oh, I know he's there. I said, he's one of my closest friends. He's somebody I talk to every day. I not only talk to him every day, but I listen to him every day. I hear what he has to say to me. And oh, it might not be an audible message that he gives me, but he gives me a message that I know sinks into my heart. And I know that Jesus lives because he lives in my heart. And behold, I say unto you, if you can do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And if you shall, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. I think the last time I spoke here, I spoke of when you pray, pray with real intent. And we have to do things with real intent, knowing that God hears our prayers and knowing that he not only hears, but he knows what's in our heart. He knows if we haven't been just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And this is for the two young ones that's here. Well, you're all young, but probably younger than I am, except for maybe Al. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which has been spoken by our fathers. He, that is, the evil spirit or the devil, being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness, and you will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And this is the hope of my talk this morning, is that we will teach each other and we will learn to love one another and to serve one another. And also you yourselves will not succor that those that stand in need of your succor will administer of your substances to him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain, and to turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man brought it upon himself, his miseries. That's what they say when any one of us is caught in sin or is subject to sin. Oh, that man brought it upon himself. Well, that may be true, but we have an obligation to help one another. It says in the Bible, if you see that your brother has need, help him. If you see that he's walking in sin, help him. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man brought it upon himself, his miseries. Therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. And behold, are we all not beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substances which we have, both of food and of raiment, and of gold and of silver, and of all the riches which we have of every kind? And you know, we are a rich people. We might not have monies, but we are a rich people. I am a rich person. I have a wife and four wonderful kids. And I think we counted up, and I think it's 11 grandkids and 7 great grandkids. How much more could a person be blessed than that? To live in this wonderful country that we have, where we're all free to do what we feel is best. Certainly we can't go and break the law, but we can serve God. He knows our needs, and he will not suffer us that we unjustly be punished. I had an opportunity this week to speak to one of my brothers, and my brother was very upset. He was ready to give up. And you can't give up when things go wrong. I think that was part of a poem, "When Things Go Wrong As They Sometimes Will." When all of our journey seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, when you have to slow down, but you have to try. We have to try to serve the God of love. Love one another. And as we read this morning, I would like to turn to page 448. And I'll give you the page 448, chapter 19, the book of Alma. And I believe this is Alma talking to his youngest son, Corey Anton. Corey Anton was caught in sin. Chapter 19. Okay. And Corianton was caught in sin. And his dad said unto him, this was a loving father, by the way. And now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. This is 4:45. For behold, have ye not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness, and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God? For behold, has he not set a good example for thee? For thou didst not give so much attention to my words as did thy brother among the people of the Zoramites. You know, this is often what happens, is that the brother turns to his other brother. I know I've done it with my brother. I turned to my brother and I said, you know, I've set a good example for you. Why didn't you observe it? But Jim, he had every right to come back at me and say, but have you lived the example that you set every minute of your life? Not long ago, Paul and Sharon and Jewel and I went down to Silver Dollar City, and we heard some bands play. One of them was a, can't think of the name of it now. Anyway, didn't matter what they were, but they played a song, You're the Only Bible Some Folks Are Ever Going to Read. So we have to live every day of our life remembering that our actions are important. This is what I have against thee, that thou didst go on to boasting in thy own strength and thy wisdom. Now sometimes I'm guilty of that. I go on boasting that, you know, I know this is what's best for you. Now do it. I guess that's from being a doctor for a number of years. You want my advice? Take it. But follow it. I just do that which was grievous unto me, where thou didst forsake the ministry and did go into the land of Siren among the borders of the Lamanites after the harlot Isabel. And she did steal away the hearts of many. But this was no excuse for thee. And that's no excuse for me. You know, if we boast in our strength, we're just liable to fall. Thou should have tended to the ministry wherewith thou was entrusted. We as ministers, I think, are going to have a lot to answer to. I feel that any time we judge another person, we're guilty of that same judgment upon us. And we, as the ministry, can't hide our crimes from God. Neither can you. And except ye repent, you will stand as a testimony. It will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. So, be careful. But now, my son, this was the ministry unto which ye were called, to declare glad tidings unto this people, to prepare their minds, or rather that their salvation might come unto them, that they may prepare the minds of their children to hear the word at the time of his coming. Can you think in your minds right now, think of how wonderful it's going to be to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes in his glory? Can you imagine the thrill that you would have in your soul? And the part I was leading up to is what I read earlier on page 448 of the 19th chapter of Alma. And now concerning the state of the soul between death and resurrection, behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they depart from their mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God that gave them life. And then it shall come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles, from all their care and sorrow. Not long ago, I preached a funeral sermon of a dear sister. And it was reported to me that she had an out-of-body experience where she visited heaven. And she saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was able to ask him questions. And he answered her. But she said, you know, I can't remember the questions that I asked, nor can I remember the answers that he gave. But she said, I saw my grandparents there. I saw my parents. I saw my deceased husband. And one of her nephews that had just recently passed on. And she said, I saw Frank, my brother Frank Fan, and Isaac Brockman. And she said they were engaged in teaching the people. I believe that she really did have this experience. I know one thing. It gave her boys, the two boys, something that they could hold on to, because they were fighting and quarreling with one another, just as we read in this. We've got to teach them not to fight and quarrel and to serve the devil. But we need to preach repentance unto this generation. We need to preach love to this generation. Forgiveness to this generation. And it's a shame that when we do teach that, we're criticized for teaching love and repentance. I have used this poem in sermons before, and it kind of hits home. It's called If We Only Understood. Could we but draw back the curtains that surrounds each other's lives, see the naked heart and spirit, know what spur the action gives. Often we would find it better, purer than we think we could, if we would love each other better, if we only understood. And I had an opportunity a while back. One of my cousins' mother was the granddaughter of Joseph Luff. He wrote a beautiful hymn that's in our hymnal. It's called The Admonition. And think of the words which have been penned. O my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. Unto honor I have called you, honor great as angels know. Heed ye then a father's counsel, and by deeds your purpose show. Be ye not deceived, remember, I have sworn to execute. All my purpose not can hinder, vain what man may institute. Take ye then my hand extended, let me lead you where I will. Peace and safety, light and glory, crown the crest of Zion's hill. I have spoken, few have heeded. What remains for me to do? Warnings old wait vindications. Man must learn that God is true. The restraining gates my mercy let me off to interpose. Shall the devastating current, fraught with woe, no more oppose? Time is ripe. My words must hasten. Whoso will may bide the hour. Naught can harm whom God protecteth. Elements confess his power. Up ye then to the high places I have bid you occupy. Peril waits upon the heedless. Grace upon the souls who try. And I'm going to skip a verse and go to the sixth one. Love you me and love all people. Love as I had loved you. This your calling. This my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. What beautiful words God gave this man to write down. You know, many of our hymns, especially the ones that were written by our people, I love Leora's hymns that's in the back of the book. 417. And I love the hymns that Joseph Luff wrote and those of David Smith that he wrote. You know, we can all listen to the words of a hymn and become inspired. We can take up our duty as children of Christ. And each one of us is a child of our Heavenly Father. We can pay very close attention of how we treat one another. I've been very blessed. I've had some good friends in my life. I've lost some very good friends. But thanks be to God, I've gained some very good friends that are in this local. I pray for you daily, and I ask that you might remember the words of that hymn, especially love ye me and love all people. Love as I had loved you. This is my purpose. This is your calling. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station that I have bid you occupy. You know, this is something that we have to give thanks for, is that we have been called into the service of our Heavenly Father, each one of us. Each one of us are His children, and He wants us to behave righteously, not to bite and devour one another. So I pray for you. I pray for this local, and I ask that you might pray for me and Jewel and some of the decisions that we make in the near future. So my prayer is that not one of you would be lost, but that you would all be found in God's kingdom at the last day. The boss asked, "What kind of oranges did you buy?" Well, he replied, the store had many varieties. There were navel oranges, Valencia oranges, blood oranges, tangerines, and many others. And I didn't know what kind to buy. But I remembered you said your wife needed the oranges, so I called her. And she said she was having a party and that she was going to need, she was going to make orange juice. So I asked the grocer, which of all the oranges would make the best orange juice? He said Valencia oranges was full of very sweet juice. So that's what I bought. I dropped them off at your home on my way back to the office. Your wife was very pleased. How much did they cost? The boss asked. Well, that was another problem. I didn't know how many to buy, so I once again called your wife and asked her how many guests she was expecting. She said 20. So I asked the grocer how many oranges would